Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to management consultant Jeffrey J. Fox, author of the new book, The Transformative CEO, Impact Lessons from Industry Game Changers. This is his second visit to our show. Stick around, but know that I'm holding out for the sequel, The Transmogrified CEO. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of people who will make 100 times as much money in the next 30 minutes as you will in the next 30 days in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, what do the founders of the Home Depot, 1-800-Flowers.com, and Paul Mitchell Systems, and the CEOs of Black Entertainment Television, Marvel Entertainment, and Campbell Soup have in common? Well, according to Jeffrey J. Fox, author of The Transformative CEO, they all have the key traits and characteristics of great and successful business leaders. Fox, who previously appeared here to discuss his last book, How to Be a Fierce Competitor, has created a cottage industry in identifying great management tips and dispensing them in short books that even a CEO can stay focused on cover to cover. The Transformative CEO is no different. Now, I have to admit, in this book, that Fox had me at Bernie Marcus. As the guy who wrote Built from Scratch with the founders of the Home Depot, I had to know what Fox made of their remarkable success. So, Jeffrey Fox, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great to have you again. We had a good conversation last time. I know we will again. Now, Jeff, you're an ace on short books that cut to the chase, so let's do that here. What is a transformative CEO, and what kind of business person wants to become one?
Well, a transformative CEO is someone who turns around a company, creates industries, builds great, amazing products. They are transformative in the outcomes. And who should be a transformative CEO? Everybody. Everybody who's in management at any level should constantly be looking at their markets, their environments, regulatory issues, and things like that, because the biggest mistake in business today is the environments change and management do not. So the transformative CEO is one who is always alert to change or to create.
And how do you go about choosing the people who represent those traits? I mean, and I imagine that all the people in the book don't represent all the traits that you're after. Or do they?
Well, it is amazing how common these people think, the considerations that they have. But you're right. My co-author, Robert Reese, he's the guy that had the access to over 250 CEOs, and I used a lot of their interviews and then emails and conversations with them later to get their contributing support material to the ideas in the book. So I would create the idea, so to speak, and then I would have various CEOs contribute their thoughts in support.
Yeah, so tell me about how the book came together. So your co-author, I guess he does a lot of these interviews on his radio show?
Right. He has the CEO show. It's syndicated to about 600,000 listeners, and he's interviewed over 250 CEOs. And so what I did was I looked at the various interviews, found interesting people, and then found the materials that supported the ideas in my book. So, for example, you have Hire to Your Culture, H-I-R-E, to your culture. And then we had different people like Bob Johnson, who's the CEO of Black Entertainment Television, for example, give his ideas on that concept.
I imagine most of these guys are pretty excited to participate in something like this because it certainly puts them in a good light.
Well, they're very modest. They're very accomplished. Many of them see what they have learned and done as something that could help American business, American economy, American enterprise. And almost all of them give way more than they've gotten, maybe not, but certainly give a lot, both in their wisdom, their wealth, their time, not just to me, but to society in general.
And I mentioned my familiarity with Bernie Marcus. I don't even know if you knew this from the past, but I wrote their book, I forgot the title of it. I wrote Built from Scratch, which was Bernie and Arthur Blank, their book several years ago. So I am kind of curious, what makes Bernie your kind of guy? What makes him a transformative CEO?
Well, he's 49 years old, fired from his job, broke, and he started Home Depot. Home Depot, in a sense, transformed the do-it-yourself economy in America. You know, it changed the way people go and buy products and do projects and so forth. And he built it on an amazing customer service philosophy, basically transforming how people really dealt with, if you will, the hardware industry. It's amazing. The other thing that's amazing about Bernie Marcus and Art Blank is that they did not take stock options. They figured they were wealthy enough with the stock they owned, and they created over 5,000 millionaires, many of which were just high school graduates.
Yeah, amazing. It's a great story. It's absolutely a great story. I have a customer service story from them. It's from the book, but I can tell you this real quickly. My favorite story from the book. When they started out and they just had, I think they had one store and then they had four stores all in the Atlanta area. And their philosophy was, the customer's always right. We don't question anything. So for returns, there would be some pretty strange returns that would come into their store. One of them was somebody brought in four tires. Of course, they didn't sell tires. But the philosophy was, bring it in, we'll, you know. So they gave their money back. And so for years, over the customer service counter in that one store, there was a tire hanging. And, you know, they didn't announce the story, but the employees knew that was the symbol of, we'll take it back.
And that customer knew, and that customer told 1,000 other customers, and that customer kept coming back. For example.
Hopefully not with more tires.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The tires are just a down payment on whatever else they bought.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one thing about Home Depot, Bernie Marcus told us, is that, you know, they don't, when there's a hurricane, for example, in Florida, they don't gouge people on getting the plywood. In fact, they go out, the workers go out and help their neighbors put plywood up on their houses. This is a great company. It's because of him, and like all these great companies, the transformation is from the head down, and he certainly is one of them. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of the other people in the book. What about Jim McCann, who's the founder of 1-800-Flowers.com?
Amazing guy. First guy to create an online company, retail store, and brand and telephone number at the same. It's 1-800-Flowers.com. He considers himself to be the cultural engineer of his company. He's constantly looking to make sure that the employees and the customers are overwhelmed with their service. It's an amazing thing there. They have a thing called the Legacy Book, and the Legacy Book are letters that come in from customers complimenting or thanking whatever 1-800-Flowers employee. The Legacy Book is now Legacy Books, and they capture all these great customer service stories, which as you guys know, are incredible. Then there's another Legacy Book, and that's when an employee thinks they've done something pretty good, and that letter goes to Jim McCann. And he reads them, and people in the company kill themselves to get into the Legacy Books. And, of course, customers have made it a great, great success. And they are just, like, over the top with customer service.
I'm actually a recent convert to theirs. I've always stayed with my local florist until this year. And my local guy is a great guy. But I had an offer, you know, one of these 50% off things for, I don't know, Mother's Day or an anniversary or something. And I tried it because I was curious, you know, what was all the thing about. And I was astonished. The price was great. I mean, I had a discount, but the price was great. But what I loved was when the flowers were sent, I want to say they went to my wife at work. They came in a box. The UPS sends them. They're perfect condition. They look gorgeous. I mean, the boxing is incredible. They give you great directions. And I mean, it was an amazing experience, and the price was right.
Sure. And the value's there. They're astonishing. And you mentioned UPS. Delivering them. Well, UPS is in the book also. Scott Davis is one of the transformative CEOs, and he comments on the notion of performing while transforming. So you got Jim McCann is constantly working on improving this customer service of 1-800-Flowers.com. This guy, Scott Davis, he joins UPS at the beginning of the Great Recession. And so They are another customer service company. They invested $1 billion around the world to improve their package deliveries. They resegmented their markets from primarily business now to individuals. It's really hard to transform a company that's doing well, that's successful, and that's 100 years old. But that's part of UPS's strategy and philosophy. They even say their strategy is to continue to transform.
Well, and UPS is interesting because they've been overshadowed by FedEx for as long as I can remember. FedEx was, you know, faster, flashier. Fred Smith was highly considered just a genius of logistics. And then UPS, I mean, it seems like UPS started their transformation when they started doing stores, at least in my sense of it, is that they increased their visibility. And they actually made brown, which is about as dull a business color as could be, they made it sort of work for them in so many ways.
Right. Well, they're both great companies.
Well, yeah, I'm not taking away from
FedEx.
And
they're both transformative CEOs. But UPS is such an international business, and the fact that he turned around a company without that was successful. I mean, they had to make major changes in their infrastructure. They reduced office counts. They moved the sales and marketing and service down into the offices or closer to the customers. They're both great companies, and they're both probably great stocks to buy. I like UPS. Hmm.
And is the whole idea of the transformative CEO, is it that you look at these guys and do what they did, or is it that they look at their own companies, and you should look at your company and figure out, you know, maybe the way you've always done it is not the best way to do it, and maybe there are other ways. Maybe you've become too much of the status quo. You need to look at it from a customer's point of view. Is that all part of it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one thing is for sure. Transforming a company is not easy. For example, 9 out of 10 turnarounds fail. Peter Cuneo, who's turned around Marvel Entertainment because he played on the the intellectual properties of Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk, and the Iron Dudes, and all those kind of guys. The stock was 94 cents when he took over, and he sold it later to Disney for $56 a share, give or take. And so he transformed something that was probably going to go out of business. So they take Doug Conant, who turned around Campbell's Soup. When he went to Campbell's Soup, they had lost 50% of their market share value. Morale was plummeting. Sales were down. Profits were going away. And the current management was taking things like chicken out of the chicken soup to save money. So his transformation was, I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's certainly obvious. And that's sometimes what happens when someone comes in who's not burdened with all the politics and decisions of the past. They can sometimes make moves that the incumbent management can't or won't. But everybody, every manager seeing or listening to the show should be looking about what's changed outside. I mean, what goofy new government regulation is coming down the pike? What environmental stress has changed? What are our competitors doing? What's happening to our technology? What if our big customers leave? Those kinds of things are what a transformer CEO is not afraid to face. They face facts. They don't fight facts. And, of course, they're creative and imaginative. They're visionary. And you know, like Arkady Kuhlman says, he's the head of ING Direct. The new transformative CEO, the most important thing we need is that they have to be creative. And you can define that a million different ways, and these people are.
Now, sometimes someone comes in as a CEO after a transformative CEO, and that's not so much fun. For example, when Bernie Marcus and Arthur Blank, you know, reached the point where it was time for them to step aside, they wanted to do other things. Bernie created the Georgia Aquarium, and Arthur took over the Atlanta Falcons NFL team. They brought in a guy from GE, Bob Nardelli.
He's a loser.
Okay. Just want to point out
it's just another one of these guys that read the resume, that wore Jack Welch's stars, thought he was the big shot, come into a company, he's going to bring in Marines or whatever the hell it was, and wrecked it. He didn't understand the culture. Going from a $9 hammer to a $7 hammer to save $2 and lose a customer is crazy. So yes, that happens a lot. I mean, I don't know these people, so I can speak about it. But look at what's happening at Procter & Gamble. they had kind of a long period of sort of, you know, nothing going on. A guy goes in there for 3 or 4 or 5 years. I forgot his name right at the second. And he transforms. He transforms Procter & Gamble. Innovation's back. New products are booming. Investment in brands. And then he retires. And then a new guy about 3 or 4 years ago became CEO. And he's not transforming the company. Mm. Not. And so there's going to be a problem there. So it is hard to follow a transformative CEO. However, transformative CEOs are always looking within their organization to find somebody that could do the job better. The board at Home Depot blew it. There's no question about that. However, that's happened to many other places.
Hmm. Now, what can
the board at Apple blew it? They fired Steve Jobs years and years ago.
Well, yeah, big time.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, we still don't know, you know, about Tim Cook. It looks like he's on the right track. It looks like he absorbed as much from Jobs as he could, and that he's making some corrections where Jobs was not the strongest guy, like, you know, dealing with people.
Well, I think you have a situation where the culture, the winning culture, carries great companies for years. I mean, Red Auerbach said once about the Boston Celtics, if I lose a player, it's like taking a spoke out of the wheel, taking your hand out of a bucket of water. Now, clearly Jobs was transformative when he took over Apple because the culture had fallen apart. Mm-hmm. This guy who's following him has been at his hand and knee for years. So he understands the culture. He may be a completely different type of personality. I can bet you that Apple's got a million people in that company who are just as creative and as transformative and as productive as ever. I don't think you're going to see slippage with this company.
No, I agree. I mean, and the culture there is such that it seems very firmly embedded that when Jobs came back, he made it clear that this is what we do and this is how we do it. And it seems like Tim Cook's thing has been, we need to be more of a personable company within and without. Steve...
That's his personality.
Yeah, Jobs was a very cold SOB for most people, but he got the job done. Cook is hoping to be Jobs with a more personal touch, which is good.
Yeah. Whatever the company needs.
What can the average CEO, the guy who's not running a multi-billion-dollar multinational corporation, what can he take away from the transformative CEO?
That if you don't pay attention to the customer, you're in real trouble. If you don't build a winning culture, you're in trouble. If you don't innovate, you're in trouble. Those are the three things you got to do. Winning culture, innovation, and marketing. Marketing is the getting and keeping of customers. Innovation is doing new things in the eyes of your customers and consumers. And culture is getting the right people in the company that fit. Now, there's no such thing as a bad culture or a good culture. There's a winning culture and a losing culture. Losing cultures have to be changed. Mm. Winning cultures have to be nourished and nurtured. And provided and added to, so you don't, you know, so that the gene pool doesn't run out. But that's what the listeners and readers have to, viewers have to see, is that these are the three things that sustain, the three sustaining factors in any enterprise: winning culture, innovation, and marketing. Period.
Jeff, there's only four women, I think, give or take one or two. I think I counted four women CEOs or founders. Who are presented in the book now and that's among dozens of men. Is that a function of people that had been on the CEO show more than the visibility of women in these positions, or what is?
Well, let's see, there's Lynn Tilton, who's people have never heard of probably, who runs the largest female owned enterprise in the United States called Patriarch Partners. They have invested in over 150 different companies, including the resuscitation of Howard Hughes' MD helicopter company that had been shuttered for 3 years. That company claims to have generated 250,000 American jobs, and she was on the CEO show. You have Shelley Lazarus, who's the chairman of Ogilvy Mather, which is the famous, iconic advertising agency in New York City. You have Anne Mulcahy, who transformed and resurrected Xerox when it was shambles. She's now chair, I think, of Save the Children. You have Anne LaPlante, who's the CEO of a privately held company called Beakley Corporation. They're the ones who developed diagnostic skin markers for mammography and for other radiological procedures. their company has probably saved over 1 million women's lives. So those are the four that occur to me off the top of my head. Oh, we also have Frances Heiselbach back in there, who was at one time, she's now the head of the Drucker Institute. We have Kathy Cloninger in there. She was head of the Girl Scouts.
I know, and
I'm doing it off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's good.
But Kathy Cloninger, we have that great chapter in there that says, live and lead by the Girl Scout law. I mean, how many business books do you see that? Well, that's a fabulous thing. They were formed 100 years ago. Their anniversary is this year, 2012. They were started in 1912. Over 70 million girls have been U.S. Girl Scouts, and over 80% of the women in executive jobs, in industry, in sports, in Congress, and those kind of not-for-profit, have been Girl Scouts. All of the astronauts were Girl Scouts. 12 Olympic gold medal winners were astronauts. Queen Elizabeth was an astronaut. Hillary Clinton, I mean, not an astronaut, a Girl Scout. She probably was an astronaut, too, for all I know. Hillary Clinton was a kosher Girl Scout. So this is an amazing thing as well. And I put that in there with the Girl Scout law and their Girl Scout promise. I think that's cool to put that in a business book.
Do men and women manage that differently? In terms of, you know, this type of CEO that we're talking about?
Well, it's hard because hard to generalize, and I'm not. I do think that I'll make an overstatement, that the women, the transformative CEOs that are women, tend to be a little bit more culture sensitive in terms of the emotional side of it, which is good, than do men. Although everybody in this book, Tony Hsieh from Zappos and Jim Skinner from McDonald's and on, Jack Bogle from Vanguard Funds, they all knew that their culture was key. I mean, Robert Johnson started Black Entertainment Television, the first African-American billionaire. It was all about culture with him. Even like he said, if I have a product manager or a salesperson that was terrific and they nibbled away at my winning culture, they had to leave. John Paul DeJoria, which every woman in the audience knows, started John Paul Mitchell System Products. Their thing is about culture from the get-go. They wanted very, very, very important how they did it. Tony Hsieh from Zappos says, we have our culture written on the wall. It's not just a poster. We live by it. We hire by it.
All right. And
hard to say the difference between management styles.
And just before we wrap up, where do most of these CEOs who are not transformative CEOs, where do they go wrong? Is it in branding? Is it in their management style? Is it indecision? Is it that, you know, analysis paralysis? What is it? Where do they, you know?
Well, I think they're tethered to the past in many cases. And the past is not just the past environment in the corporation where they work. It's also they're tethered to their own past, and they don't adapt and they don't change. They can be perfectly all right. There's lots and lots of great companies out there where the CEO is quote unquote administering the business or managing it because the businesses are great, just streaming along. That's fine. It's when the environments change that the business, the management has to change. So, you know, I don't think it's a criticism for someone who's not in a transformative role because maybe they don't need to be, but they will sooner or later, or their successors will sooner or later, without question, something's going to change in that company, and they better be prepared to face those facts, not to fight them, to change, get help from anybody they can, and they'll be fine.
So what's next? We've talked, the last time was How to Be a Fierce Competitor, which I can tell folks you can still listen to that one on MrMedia.com. And now,
That's a great book.
It is a great book. I agree. I wouldn't have brought it up again if I didn't think so. What's next?
Bring them all up. I've got 12. What's next is a children's book. I'm writing a chapter book for kids grades 4 through 8. It's based on a true story. I went in the children's book. I'm glad the kids are reading again, but I mean, I just think that we have to have words bigger than "my mama was a llama" when we give these kids books. And every book you read is about a vampire or about some crazy thing. Fine, they're reading, but I'm looking for a book that's It'll never be as good as Robert Louis Stevenson or Treasure Island or any of that kind of thing. But it is a chapter book, and maybe I'll just make 100 copies. But that's next.
Cool. All right. Well, folks, listen, you can find Jeff Fox's new book, The Transformative CEO, Impact Lessons from Industry Game Changers, in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price, as always, at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Do you have a website you want to mention?
Well, my website is www.foxandcompany.com, and that's FOXANDCOMPANY.com. And we refresh it now and then. And I appreciate all your people that are listening and watching, and I hope they do buy the book and they'll learn from it, I hope.
And are you in any social media, Jeff? Twitter, Facebook, any of that kind of thing?
Well, we are. My publicist handles it. You know, I'm not convinced of the commercial value yet of the social media. Yeah, I'm not. And I also look at the productivity declines with people who are, obsessed with it. I'll make you a prediction.
All right.
That Facebook, et cetera, what's going to happen is that companies are going to start, especially big ones, are going to start their own, quote-unquote, Facebooks, their own internal Facebook. Don't call it that, of course, and they'll have... It'll be on 24 hours, and they'll have viral meetings all the time, and you're going to see internal consumption of outside social media, including email, drop like a rock.
I'll be interested to see that. I know a lot of companies have tried. I know there's Ning.com, where you can set up your own in a Neighborhood America.
I don't know the technology, yeah. But I do know that it's impossible to understand whether Facebook, et cetera, it has commercial value in terms of marketing, selling product.
All right. That may be a book for you ahead there, to talk to CEOs about that, you know? You might be onto something.
All right. Well, you know, when was the last time you read an ad that popped up when you were on Facebook?
Still waiting.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Although I will tell you, I must say, the flip side of that is, we do have ads. We don't do pop-ups, but we do have ads on Mr. Media. And, I mean, people do click on them. They do look at them. But
I think that's a little different.
Yeah, but pop-ups,
no. Mr. Media is a voluntary destination, and you're going there it's got a specific promise embedded in your name and in your brand. I'm not – Facebook's original promise was so kids could talk to each other all over the place. All right? That's their promise. How do you make money on it? I mean, to me, I'm surprised they don't charge people like $5 a year or something. They got a zillion members, so $5 a year is some money.
I think that's likely they'll go that way, especially since the stock price didn't work out the way they thought it would. I imagine they'll start charging.
They're not making the money.
Yeah.
And sophisticated advertisers, and I'm not just talking about Facebook per se, sophisticated advertisers are going to question, am I getting a return on my investment? Well, when I run an ad in this, and like you know, because you said they clicked on it, when I run an ad and I code it and everything so that it's, you know, Facebook Atlanta, Georgia area or whatever, mm-hmm. Do I see my sales tick up in those local stores or do I see them tick up online? If they do, they're going to be advertising like crazy. If they don't, they won't.
Very good. All right. Well, and on that note, Jeff Fox, good to see you this time. Thanks for coming back and joining us on Mr. Media today.
My pleasure. Believe me. It's great.
All right. Continued success.
All the best.
You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Marc Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, the TechCrunch headlines, and the Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJs, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJs or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is George Kennedy. I have a book out. It's called Trust Me. You know what the book is about? The book is about me looking you straight in the eye and telling you the truth about whatever. I tried really hard to tell the truth about everything that came across my way. I hope you get a chance to look at it. Thank you.